This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hello there. Good morning to you on a Monday morning, a chilly Monday morning, I would say. Kim is saying it was like 38 out there. Mm-hmm. It's like 34 at my house when I left. So depending on where you are, you might be close to that freezing mark. It is a little shock to the system, I'd have to say. I was kind of spoiled. Kind of my blood was starting to thin out a little bit, but you'll step out the door this morning and know it.
At least it's not raining.
Yeah, that's true.
That was kind of obnoxious over the weekend.
Speaking of obnoxious, I've been waiting all weekend to talk about this. I drove down to the hands-off protest in West County there off of Manchester and Weidman on Saturday.
What'd you do?
What did I do? I didn't really do anything. It was raining, right? Like, nothing made me happier than the fact that the people who chose to go out there and protest in support of waste and fraud in government had to stand in the rain for 3 solid hours to make rear ends out of themselves. And I'm all in support of the First Amendment, but I was really happy that it rained on them for 4 hours. I really was. So I just simply drove down Manchester Road. Of course, traffic was a mess because these people lined Manchester Road there in front of that Bandana's Barbecue area leading up to Weidman. If you're going east on Manchester, and I really didn't do anything other than roll my window down and put my Trump flag out and wave it at them as I went by. That was about all. I got a few middle finger salutes. A few people were screaming at me.
And you didn't return any of that?
I have no comment.
I did
post some of the video up there on the Facebook page. It's had thousands of views and lots of people calling me homophobic slurs and all kinds of awful things.
How does that even make sense?
Because these are people who don't listen to the show, who don't know who the hell I am. I put the hashtag hands off on there, which is what they were all posting for their videos. So a lot of them ended up seeing my video, and they didn't take very well to it.
But just because you support Donald Trump, that automatically makes you homophobic?
No. Homosexual. I'm sorry. Did I say homophobic? They were making references to my last name and calling me a closeted homosexual. I mean, some of the comments were awful. I had to go in and delete a few of them. Just because of these. And, you know, usually what I would do before I deleted it, I'd check on the profile of the moron that posted it. Inevitably, it would be somebody in New York or L.A. or somebody who didn't even live in St. Louis who went on there just out of pure hatred that you would dare to wave a Trump flag. And they just kind of went sideways on you.
If they're even a real account, I really think that some of these are just, I don't know if burner account's the right word, but they're just fake and people use them just to troll people.
Which I thought was interesting because the tolerant left apparently thinks it's a slur to call you a homosexual. That's all I could come up with.
No, the party of love and acceptance.
Yeah,
they demonstrate that so well. Literally, figuratively, well, everything they do exudes love.
Here's the other thing, and we'll talk more about it this morning. If you're just tuning in for the first time and didn't pay much attention to the news cycle over the weekend, go to my Facebook page and look at the picture I posted from a friend of mine who was driving her Tesla down Brentwood Boulevard near Eager on Saturday at around the same time and had her four-year-old daughter in the back seat strapped in her car seat and got stuck in that traffic near this crowd as she was coming down Brentwood trying to get onto 40 to go downtown. And these people were yelling and screaming at her car. They hated her car, apparently. But their screams were upsetting her daughter. And then before she could get out of the traffic, somebody threw a coffee cup at her car.
Oh, my God.
She said she was really worried they were going to approach her car. They did not, from what I can tell. But it just, this is the mindset of these crazy people on the loony left. Many of them were paid, I believe, to go to some of these protests. Not all of them. I had a friend I used to work with at Channel 4 who got on my post on Facebook and attacked me for daring to suggest that anybody who was there was paid, and they were he had lots of friends who were there, and he wanted evidence. Well, we've seen your game plan, Steve. We've seen your game plan. We know exactly how this works. We saw the summer of peace that you paid for across America, burning cities, all of that stuff in BLM. We witnessed all that. We know exactly how this works. And the reason I suggested that a lot of these people were paid is they showed up with pre-printed, professionally made signs that all had the same slogans on them. They were told by these organizations what signs to carry, and they were provided with those signs to carry.
Sure.
At this organized protest all over the country. Mm-hmm. This hands-off organization is countrywide. So if you don't believe that there is donations going to this from George Soros and all these other hard-left Act Blue organizations, you're crazy. And you saw a lot of that mixed in. Now, there were clearly people there who were wearing pink hats and marching and just thought this was going to be a fun day to go out and stand in the rain for 3 hours. I don't doubt that. And you're entitled to your First Amendment rights to go protest. But when you start scaring people who are driving by because of the kind of car they're driving and throwing things at them and screaming and scaring their four-year-old daughter, you've gone too far. And that's the sad part of this. So that really got under my skin this weekend, I'll have to say. Go have your little protest. There were they were all over the country. A minuscule number in hindsight when you compare it to the number of people that voted in the last election. Even if they turned out a couple million people nationwide, it was tiny. But vocal, and all the local news stations covered it like it was the Million Man March.
Well, I saw pictures, you know, it would show all the different cities that participated, and you would just see the sea of people. In fact, we had some friends who participated in this who were very liberal out of the Chicago area. So, yeah.
But I've got some sound I'll play this morning where they ask some of these people, what exactly is it you're mad at? We want Donald Trump and Elon Musk's hands off our Social Security. Elon Musk and Donald Trump have done nothing to your Social Security and don't plan to. Who lied to you about that? Please tell me that. What has here's the doll of America. Show me on the doll where Donald Trump touched you and hurt you. Where? Who? Oh, the stock market. I mean, they don't have any idea why they're out there. They just hate Donald Trump. That was fueling whatever happened Saturday. They're angry. And they had nowhere else to go, so they went out and just made things up to have a nice day. But anyway, go check out the video there on the Facebook. We'll talk about it this morning. It was maddening. I went down there with the intention of confronting some of them, like walking along the line and talking to them, but I wasn't going to get out in the pouring rain and do that. So I ended up just rolling my window down, waving my flag at them as I went by.
Well, that would have made for some very interesting video had you actually done that.
That's why I drove down there.
But you actually have to think about violence in one of those situations, because that's how angry some of these people are, they would throw a punch at you because you just disagree with them and you support Donald Trump, and therefore you're a list of all these crazy things, you know, homophobic and all these. I know you're saying that was related. They were poking fun at you, I guess, on Facebook.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know what would have happened, but I was kind of looking forward to it. But then it was pouring rain, and I'm like,
not
this
worth
is,
it.
No. This is just, you're getting exactly what you deserve. You're going to go home soaking wet and not have changed a single person's mind and probably just pissed off a lot of people for all the traffic, making the traffic worse on Manchester and Brentwood on Saturday and wherever else you showed up, for sure. All right, lots to get to. We'll talk to Hans von Spakovsky up next. You know, there's a move in Congress already to try to take congressional control of tariffs so Donald Trump can't be mean to other countries that have been screwing us for 40 years. I don't think that's going to work, but we'll talk to Hans about the constitutionality of it coming up in the next hour. We're going to get a couple of the candidates. Of course, the election is tomorrow. We're going to get a few candidates on tomorrow, the school board. Francis Howe candidates are going to come in a little later in the 7 o'clock hour. And there was a big lawsuit on Prop B that got settled. Well, I wouldn't say it wasn't a settlement. It was a judge's decision to basically toss out the challenge on Friday afternoon. We're going to talk to the attorney who won that victory in court. So now there's no doubt that whatever the vote is on Prop B will stand. They were trying to get it thrown off the ballot for some odd reason, the Democrats were, and that got defeated Friday afternoon. We're going to talk to Attorney Kim Mathis in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Every country is calling and being very solicitous of us. Very, very nice. The United States can't lose $1.9 trillion on trade.
Oh, my gosh. What's he talking about? He's talking about saving your bacon down the road. Why would we continue sending all this money overseas? We want to keep it at home.
Did you use AI to generate this? Why are they on the list?
If you leave anything off the list, the countries that try to arbitrage America go through those countries.
Yeah, thank you. Trying to explain to Margaret Brennan, I guess he was trying to really break it down for her, why all of the names of countries on that list were on the list. She picked one or two examples, and that's what she was hanging her hat on.
Well, I have no respect for the warmongers and the war profiteers and those who want the war to continue forever for their own purposes. This is an evil thing.
Elon talking about the war in Ukraine. I don't know why that's a focus for him. He's there to cut expenses. Why did they even ask him about it?
My concern is that whenever that happens, the next outbreak will be of a respiratory disease that's easily transmissible, that has a significant degree of morbidity.
Oh, there he is. Fauci's back. He's not in jail because he's got that pocket pardon. But he's talking about the next possible outbreak that's going to crush America.
Get out your masks that don't work. Please wear them on your face like a diaper everywhere you go. Even when you're outside walking by yourself, driving in that car by yourself, please go ahead and just wear the mask, because it's not just about protecting you. It's about protecting us. And you're selfish and you're a grandma killer if you don't do it. All right, there's your PSA this Monday morning.
It's coming. Don't you worry. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. We'll get to the national anthem and be back with more on the great blues victory and all that stuff this weekend.
Mark,
Carl.
It's a noted conservative and great singer, Kelsey Grammer.
Nice. All right, welcome back. We had to turn the camera off in the commercial break because Kim was eating the bagel that I brought in.
Let's also talk about what you were eating.
The popcorn that Carl brings us after every Blues game. So thank you, Carl, for that.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it.
It was an exciting game on Saturday.
No kidding. I was at a wedding Saturday down at Union Station. What a gorgeous venue. And congratulations to Abby and Chris, who tied the knot, and Jeff and Chris, her parents, who invited us. Thank you. They did the light show, which was really cool, during the reception before the band got started.
Nice. Did they do? Because there's a Queen one, there's a Beatles one, there's a Train one.
Wasn't the Train. Although it started off with the chug, chug, chug of the Train with the lights going by, and then it was just like vines and... It was beautiful. It was gorgeous.
Really well done. If you've never seen it,
I've never been to a wedding down there. It was well done. It was nice.
On the ceiling and wall.
I've seen videos.
Yeah,
never seen it in person.
So anyway, I mentioned this Friday. My friend Jeff, and his wife and his daughter, for that matter, are all huge Blues fans. And, you know, they scheduled this wedding, and they probably would rather have been at the game. I'm sure they wouldn't have rather been at the game than the wedding, but they were. Everybody was distracted because there were basketball games going on, so mm-hmm. people were checking their phones for the scores. Thank goodness Duke lost. I was so happy. I didn't care who won. I just wanted Duke to lose. And then everybody was checking the Blues score. So,
yeah, I didn't see the game myself. I watched some of the Final Four, like the two Final Four games. I saw a little bit of those. But I see, I wanted Duke to win only because I had Duke winning it all in my bracket.
I would never pick Duke to win it all. Like, I couldn't bring my heart. My heart would not allow me to do that. I'd probably have a myocardial infraction if that happened.
What's the hate is just because Kentucky is a rival?
Yeah, just one of our. Plus they killed us. They killed our heart 30 years ago when they beat us in that last second. I still hate Christian Laettner. I can never bring myself to support Duke for something that happened many years ago. But anyway, also, I don't want them to get another banner to hang in their rafters. They've already got enough of those. And Kentucky is still, I believe, second to UCLA in the number of NCAA titles won. So the further away we can keep North Carolina, Kansas, and Duke from that, the better. See, that's perfectly logical.
Sure.
So you want Houston, right, then?
I'm following Houston or Florida. I don't care, really, at this point. I'd probably rather see Houston win it so we don't have to listen to some other SEC program brag all season about winning an NCAA title. Now, I'll say that, but if it was Mizzou playing, I'd root for Mizzou because they've never won one, and I'd love to see them win
We've
one.
Never Florida, even been to Florida. We've never even been to the Elite Eight, right? We've maybe made it to the Sweet 16.
Yes.
Yeah, Florida has
won. Never the Elite Eight. Am I right in that?
Florida's won a couple. They won back-to-back titles, I think, a few years ago. But Mizzou's never won one. I would be rooting for Mizzou. I might have been rooting for Auburn had they pulled
it off. Don't hold your breath on Mizzou.
All right. I just want to throw that out there. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. And then next hour, we'll talk to Hans von Spokowski from Heritage. We'll get to him at about 6:20. Back in a minute.
The gloves are off. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a whim.
I'd like to take a poll this morning for those of you maybe who are listening to us through social media, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all the places. How many of you have been at the scene of a mass shooting?
Wow, that had to be...
What would you guess?
Well, I mean, the way they do those statistics, if you were within a mile of it when it happened, they would probably add you in. So I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I think maybe 1 in 100 people might have been anywhere near a place where somebody was shot.
That's a good guess, but not quite. There's this new study from the University of Colorado Boulder that shows that 1 in 15, American adults have been on the scene of a mass shooting. Of course, defining a mass shooting as an incident where 4 or more people are shot in a public space. That's the number that you hear tossed around all the time is 4 or more people constitutes a mass shooting. Now, you were talking about how maybe if you're within a mile or so of that scene that you would be grouped in, and that would be my take. To come up with that number, I would think that you'd have to be in the same city to qualify as, you've been at the scene of a mass shooting. Or maybe there was a mass shooting there 15 years ago and you went back to visit and somehow you've been at the scene of it. But no, listen to the description of this study. It says it means that you were in the direct vicinity to where you could see the shooter. There were bullets that were fired in your direction, or if you couldn't directly see the shooter, you could hear the gunshots. The study came to that number by surveying 10,000 people last year, and it details that more than 2% of U.S. adults have been injured during a mass shooting. Is anybody else scratching their head at this? It sounds like you are too, Mark, saying, I refuse to believe that 7% of U.S. adults on average have been at the scene of a mass shooting.
It's a lie.
Give me a break.
It's a lie by the people at Moms Against Guns and all of these crazy Brady groups and all of them where they try to manufacture statistics to make the situation seem worse than it is. For example, if you look at the number of school shootings that they refer to, if a shooting took place on school grounds on a Sunday afternoon at 8 o'clock, Sunday evening at 8 o'clock, nobody was at the school, but a couple of gangbangers took a shot at each other on a corner near a school, they'll write that down as a school shooting just to try to amplify it and make these numbers seem more dramatic than they are, because it's the only way to get support for whatever crazy law they're trying to change.
Right. When they talk about gun violence, they point to statistics like this, and they freak everybody out thinking, oh my gosh, 1 in 15, that could be me, that could be my child, I have to do something about this. It's the same way that they came up with their statistics for COVID. I mean, that's what's so sad, is you cannot... Maybe you could in the past, I don't know, I'm assuming this kind of stuff has been going on for decades, but especially now... You really have to look at the numbers. You have to look at the particular group that's funding it. Now, in this case, it's the University of Colorado Boulder. But assuming a very liberal
that tells you what you
college
need to
know. Most colleges are pretty liberal these days. But you really have to take a closer look at this. You cannot just look at a study and take it for face value, because that's just bogus. There's so many ways, in my opinion, that they can manipulate these numbers and somehow come up with that figure. 1 in 15 American adults have been on the scene of a mass shooting. What?
I think I read somewhere the other day that they have now legalized hallucinogenic mushrooms in parts of Colorado. So maybe that is connected to how this study was done.
Well, you know, that's a good question, because it doesn't say where they surveyed the 10,000 people. Is that all... within the area? Did they go to the other states?
Boulder is 24 square miles surrounded by reality.
This is ridiculous. And it really does scare people. And then that you hear the word gun violence. Now, we don't hear the word knife violence like you do in the UK, where they're trying to blunt their knives because they say that it's causing way too many incidents, and they have to blunt them.
Yeah,
you should not be able to have sharp knives to cut your steaks.
You can't sell... decorative samurai swords out of fear somebody might take one off the wall and attack a crowd of people somewhere in London.
Carl, you hear that?
What's
that? Do you have any samurai swords?
No.
No, he has lightsabers, and they're not real, so they can't hurt anyone.
Yes.
This lightsaber violence is not an issue. That might be one day. You never know.
It could be, but for now, there's technically no such thing as a real lightsaber so that you could hurt somebody with that I'm aware of. I what's the matter,
Although
Carl?
That would be cool.
Well, that would be cool, wouldn't it? I agree with you.
But really, anybody listening, please write in. Have you? I mean, I've never. I don't think I've ever witnessed a shooting. I mean,
no.
I've heard. So, for example, when I lived in the Central West End, what I think is so interesting about the Central West End is it's a nice area. You know, I lived in an apartment there. It wasn't like I lived in one of those, you know, million plus dollar homes. But there's some extremely nice homes in that area. And then you go four blocks over and it's North City. And so I'd be sitting in my apartment, which was right by SLU, SLU's campus, that soccer field, if you're familiar with that area,
yeah,
off Van Deventer. And I hear, I knew it was gunshots. So you'd hear it, but I never looked out my window and I was like, there's the shooter. So I would never sit there and say, oh, I've been at the scene of a shooting.
The sounds of the city.
Yeah.
Didn't the mayor say that one time that that was just the background
noise?
Put
you right to sleep, you know, that rapid fire gun, the gunshots. It's just so calming when you're trying to go to bed here in St. Louis.
And, you know, Kim and I should stand out in this kind of a study as being in a group of people who would have been more likely to have either been at the scene of a shooting like that, right, because we were covering it as reporters, or been at a scene where a shooting broke out because there was some sort of a dispute going on and we were there to cover it as reporters. That might increase your odds of being at a scene like that. If you remember law enforcement, that might increase your odds of being at a scene like that. But for the average American, I don't even know anybody who's seen an actual shooting that I can think of. I don't ever remember a friend telling me, oh, I was there the day that so-and-so went crazy at the mall or whatever. I don't even know anybody who's done that.
Well, that's it. I haven't. I've had a crazy person point a gun at me when I was covering a story in Iowa, but never pulled the trigger. But
I've heard gunshots
triggered
at scenes,
school lockdown.
It was usually not at that scene. It was from somewhere else nearby when I was covering a shooting in North St. Louis somewhere. Mm-hmm. I've certainly heard gunshots, but I've never witnessed a shooting.
I think a lot of us, if you live in the city or you spend any time in the city, you've probably heard gunshots. But, I mean, like you said, how many of us have actually stood there and watched the shooter pull the trigger? I mean, just, again, I don't even know, like you said, anybody, any of one in my life, friends, family who have witnessed a shooting.
I've got a friend who works in an office over here off Shoto, not too far from the Purina building. And it's not unusual for them to come in and find bullet pockmarks in the brick outside of their building. And one time they had one go through a window.
Oof.
That was on the weekend at night, but they had to obviously get new glass and all that. But it's not, it's just sort of a thing mm-hmm. in the city of St. Louis.
Well, and what's interesting too is this study is not even just saying you've witnessed a shooting. This is saying you've been on the scene of a mass shooting. So at least four or more people injured. Bob on YouTube is saying, I live in the country and can hear a gunshot for several miles. I've also slept in downtown St. Louis, heard a gunshot, but no shooter around. Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. You might hear a gunshot, but you're not looking out your window saying, there's the gunman right there,
the shooter,
you know, running away from the cops. I mean, that's like a movie. That would be so rattling. I would be so scarred if I actually watched all of that unfold.
It's just more evidence of how far some of these folks are willing to go on the left to try to, I mean, it's when these things happen, it is a horrific situation, as we just saw from the manifesto that's been released and the final police report from the Nashville shooting 2 years ago. Unfortunately, it's politicized, and law enforcement in that case went out of their way. They tied themselves in a pretzel knot to not blame her mental health for what happened, and they didn't mention the word that she was trans, even though if you look at the manifesto, and she apparently had 15 or 16 books filled with crazy doodlings.
Mm-hmm.
They said she wasn't insane, and they never mentioned the fact that she was trans, even though every single page of her doodling mentioned her sexuality and her frustration with how society treated her, apparently.
There was something about that police report that reeked.
Oh, yeah. That it took 2 years
information
to...
Information omitted. Yeah, why it took so long. Yeah. Why they tried to downplay the trans thing.
It just all feeds back into the same thing, an attempt to
control the narrative
on these shootings, and you know, it's sad, but we just, there's more evidence of it, and it's been a while, knock on wood, since we've had one to talk about, so who knows. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Hans von Spakovsky at about 6:20. There's a debate right now, of course, in this country over tariffs. One of the lead stories of Channel 4 this morning was watching the markets. Like, every member of the media is feeding into this frenzy about how horrible the market. Oh, the market's down 1,000 points in early trading this morning. Here's a secret for you. If you haven't sold anything, you haven't lost anything. You have the same number of shares you had last Wednesday when Donald Trump announced these tariffs. Some of them take effect this Wednesday. 6 months from now, my guess is anything you lost is not only going to be back, you may have more in there. This is going to blow over. Take my word for it. We'll talk to Hans about an attempt in Congress to take back tariff authority from the president. Can they do that? We'll get to that about 6:20.
I got a report from the USTR last night that more than 50 countries have reached out to the president to begin a negotiation. But they're doing that because they understand that they bear a lot of the tariff. And so I don't think that you're going to see a big effect on the consumer in the U.S. because I do think that the reason why we have a persistent long-run trade deficit is these people have very inelastic supply. They've been dumping goods into the country in order to create jobs, say, in China.
Thank you, Kevin Hassett, for explaining that yesterday. It's kind of tariff 101 or economics 101 for all of the idiots who stood out in the rain for 3 hours on Saturday. If you're one of them, I'm sorry about that, but I have no problem with you exercising your First Amendment rights, but I will exercise my First Amendment right to call you an idiot for not understanding what's going on here. You're blinded by your TDS. That's what happened Saturday. Other than the people that were paid to be there, and there were people that were paid to attend these protests around the country, I've got sound with one of them that I'll play for you a little later. I'm sure I knew some of the people that were in that crowd because I had a friend I used to work with who chimed in that he knew people that were in the crowd and they didn't get paid. And if people are getting paid, he wanted to get paid and blah, 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 blah. I know why you're there. It was an opportunity to show up and hate on Donald Trump. That's the only reason they're there. There's no factual basis for any of their concerns. Donald Trump and Elon Musk have no interest in changing, altering, reducing, whatever, Social Security. They don't. I'm the one that said Social Security is a pyramid scheme, because it is, unless they fix it. It's going to run out of money. But Donald Trump's not saying that. And there's no attempt to defund or change any of the rules. So if you've been told that, you've been lied to. You went out and held a sign about socialism is better than fascism on Saturday, some pre-printed sign paid for, no doubt, by George Soros or someone like that. And you have no idea. They tried to interview a few of them on what their signs meant, and they had to get out folded pieces of paper and read them so they understood. That Donald Trump is, you know, what he's doing is unconstitutional. Well, really? What has he done that's unconstitutional? He's deporting criminals. He's secured the border, right? He's told countries that have taken advantage of the United States for 70 years, the gravy train is going to stop. So you can do fair trade with us, and we're more than happy to open our markets up to you. And all you have to do is drop the tariffs you put on our goods when they come to your country. It's that simple. And these morons think that Donald Trump needs to back off already. You don't do that when you're negotiating. And he's doing it for the best interest of everyone else. Not your hatred of Donald Trump. Not your inability to see what this is going to do for the economy, which is going to be like jet fuel when suddenly companies are unrestrained on the number of goods they can send to foreign countries. It's going to be a sea change of difference when we don't have several trillion dollars a year in a trade imbalance. You understand what's going on here, right? We have $36 trillion in debt. You know who we owe a lot of that debt to? The peasants in China, because we have to borrow the money from China to pay the interest on our overspending. And yet we allow China to tariff our goods when they go in, but we don't do the same thing to Chinese goods coming here. So they have a trade surplus of U.S. dollars, which we then borrow from them to pay for the fact that we spend more than we bring in. It's the most insane system. If somebody wrote it down and planned it in advance, you'd look at them and say, you're nuts. Why would anybody run a country like that? So Donald Trump campaigned on this. In fact, you could argue he's been campaigning on it for 40 years, because back in 1987, he said, these foreign countries are taking advantage of us. Why are we allowing this to happen? I believe it might have been Scott Bessent the other day who pointed this out, but it bears repeating. When the president of Ukraine says he's going to sign an agreement on mineral rights for the U.S., and then he backs off, and then he goes to the White House and makes a complete ass of himself. We're having to hear now, I heard on the news this morning, Kim, on the way in, some Ukrainian lawmakers are worried that Ukraine would be giving too much of its future mineral rights to the United States in this agreement. I'm just going to ask a really obvious question here. If Russia controls your country, how much of your mineral rights do you own? Just asking for a friend, because that's what's at stake here. So what Bessent suggested was the only reason somebody wouldn't want to sign off on this deal and end this war is if they're dipping into the money somehow, and they don't want that flow of money to end. Somebody's getting rich over there. They have no idea where all the money went that we've contributed so far, or that Europe has contributed so far. So I'm getting off on a tangent there a little bit to draw back to the fact that, just like in China, everybody's happy with the status quo because they're making money off of it. Their hands in the till. it's in your back pocket because you're a taxpayer. Why would we ever put up with that? So yeah, the market futures are down a little bit this morning. They were down Friday. A lot of that is institutional trading. A lot of it is these big hedge fund managers who saw what was coming and they put in sell orders, right? And guess what? When the market's down 4,000 points, they're going to start buying again because they're buying at a discount. Wise up. Just try to understand just a little bit of what's going on before you go stand in the rain for 3 hours waving signs that you have no idea what they mean. Hello? It's reality calling. Coming up, we'll talk to Hans von Spakovsky at about 6:20 on whether or not Congress can restrict the president on tariffs.